What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Yanks of the Cop. I am Scans LFC. As always, I'm joined by LFC Wahomie. Wahomie and Steven were on Copish earlier. If you haven't checked that out, be sure to check it out. It was a great, great episode. But we're here now to talk about the Real Madrid against Liverpool game, the first leg. Going into this one, Wahomie, how are you feeling?
Getting butterflies. Because this is a big one. I think
massive.
A lot of people get into the euphoria, thinking that it's simple. Like, I've seen people predicting 4-1 Liverpool tomorrow. And I'm thinking, like, look, Real Madrid is still a very good team. They're still joint second Liga, I think, right now. And even with players missing, they've still got a very good team, full of top players in there, so yep. That's a major threat. And also, like, this is a glamour tie. This is basically like, Real Madrid, the kings of Europe, 13 Champions Leagues, versus Liverpool, who are probably the princes of Europe because, we are on 6 Champions Leagues. So this is like the glamour tie of the Champions League. Maybe not the two best teams, but definitely glamour tie. Lots of rich European history. And our head-to-head, I think we're equal in Europe against each other. We've won 3, they've won 3. So this is going to be a very difficult game. I mean, not to say that Liverpool can't win and we have a great evening, we can't win convincingly, but it's just, as we're getting closer, I'm just getting those butterflies thinking, okay, look, this is going to be a huge night tomorrow. I just don't want... You remember when we played Barcelona and we played amazing in Spain and we missed so many chances, like at least 4 or 5 clear-cut chances and came away losing 3-0?
Yeah.
And we're thinking, like, how the hell did you lose that?
It's true.
And while Real Madrid don't have a Messi or Ronaldo anymore to do that kind of damage, but it's still the case of, what's Klopp going to play tomorrow, the formation or the lineup, the players? That's one. I'm also getting a butterfly because is he going to play the right formation, the right lineup? Otherwise, game all today, I'm just getting more butterflies.
I know. I'm getting the butterflies too. I think we all are. We're waiting for it to pop off tomorrow. But one thing I want to add to that is that I think that the English teams have had the Spanish teams' numbers over the past couple of years. I mean, if you look at obviously the Barcelona game with Liverpool. This season, you had Chelsea beating Atletico Madrid. Last season, you had Man City beating Real Madrid. So I don't know if it's the way that we're playing our football, if it's the physical presence of the Premier League against La Liga. Maybe La Liga is just kind of slacking over the past few seasons. I don't know what it is, but like you said, I think that this is still Real Madrid. This is still the Galacticos, still a massive, massive European away leg. In Spain, they have some injuries. Hazard's not going to be playing. Ramos is not going to be playing. I don't think Valverde is going to be starting. But they're still the Galacticos. They're still Los Blancos, and they're still formidable. They have Zinedine Zidane as their manager, and it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle throughout the pitch. I don't know what Klopp is going to do. I haven't listened to his pre-match presser today. I'm not sure if he gave away any clues or not, but I mean, Jota was the player who spoke, right? He was the one who did the press conference as well.
Yeah, but Klopp was coy. Someone asked him, "Are you going to play all 4 of them tomorrow?"
Yeah,
and he was like, "We'll see," with a smile. So he was very coy of like,
"Of course he's going to be." I mean, I heard today that they didn't train in Spain, or they trained in Liverpool, and Klopp has been very coy about his formation and who he's going to start, but. It's going to be interesting. I mean, would you go – I personally think he's going to go Gini, Thiago, Fabinho. I think Jota is going to be on the bench, to be honest. I really do. I think today the fact that Jota was given the press conference, I think that's mind games. I think that's, if Jota started, I think Firmino is going to get the start. Doesn't mean that's right. It doesn't mean that's right. We can get into that in a little bit. But I think that's what the lineup's going to be. Would you
agree?
Could
be. I mean, it could be. It could be the case of, it depends, though, because – I know we're getting like later on, but it depends though whether he feels that I want to press Madrid's defense, and then maybe then Firmino's the best one for it. So it depends. Like if he's bold, really bold, then he plays all four, and that's like wow, he's trying to outscore Madrid. I'm surprised if he did that. If he's trying to be a bit more defensive and just press Madrid, then it would be Firmino. I would hope he went for the Atlanta away kind of thing and went for Jota, Salah, Mane and just tried to blitz them straight away and play counter-attacking football. But we'll get onto that later on, but it's interesting what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, let's just get to some chats real quick. John MC, what's going on, man? Good to have you in the chat. Brian from Dublin, good evening to you. It's good afternoon here for me in the States. Near Post Podcast, think it's going to be 2-2 tomorrow. We'll get into the score in a little bit. Brian Connolly said, will Real Madrid have one eye on the Clásico next weekend, especially as Atletico lost at the weekend, which blew open the Spanish title race? Yeah, I saw that Barcelona is only, I think, 2 points behind now Atletico Madrid. So that's going to be a massive, massive tie in between our two legs. So it's going to be tonight, really interesting. What's that?
They're playing tonight, Barcelona. They're 0-0, so they're joint points with Madrid now because they're drawing.
Right, and aren't they only 2 points behind Atletico right now?
Yeah, Atletico on 66, Barcelona now on 63, Madrid on 63. But if Barcelona win tonight, they go two points ahead of Madrid.
They go level, right? They go level with Atletico, though?
No, 2 points behind them.
Okay, so that's what I was getting at. Yeah, so I mean, if they win tonight, there'll be 2 points, and then that's a massive, massive Clásico. So no, and Sophie, looks like Steven just hopped on. Glad to have you in the chat as well. Let's see here. So an 1892 podcast. Good to see you guys again. He said, "Hey, Yanks the Cop. Hope you guys are all well." Scans. I'm generally hoping Genie starts tomorrow. I definitely agree with that. I think that Genie's going to get the start. Klopp, in terms of his midfield, Klopp it always goes conservative in a big game like this. He goes with his most trusted lieutenants, and Genie is probably the most tenured lieutenant at the moment who can start on the pitch. I mean, maybe Milner, but I don't think Milner gets a sniff at this game. He'll definitely be on the bench. But, I mean, Steven, you're just coming in now. What do you think? Do you think that it's going to be Fabinho, Thiago, or Genie, or do you think we'll see Keita? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's the Genie love. Like Sophie said, no, it's definitely going to be Fabinho, Thiago, Genie, especially in the Champions League. It's always go with what you know, go with what you trust. Genie is the guy who he trusts. And honestly, I think that three, that combination is the perfect combination to match up against Real Madrid's midfield. When you think about it, they're going to have Casemiro, Kroos, and Modric. You know, Modric and Kroos are much more attack-minded. Madrid likes to play out of the back. And those three are exceptional at not only going forwards, but, you know, cutting out passing lanes, winning tackles, being physical. And I think that's that threesome is the perfect threesome that you'd want to go up against that midfield three of Madrid.
Yeah. And Mahomi, just going to Ian Francis's comment here in the chat, he said Genie is massive for tomorrow. His ball retention and his nonstop action will be too much for Madrid's midfield. I mean, we're seeing a lot of people on Twitter and other social networks saying that 4-2-3-1, you know, could see the front four playing together. But I feel like having Bobby in there would kind of throw off the balance of our midfield. The way if we have the three in the 4-3-3, I feel like our midfield is much more balanced with the Fabinho, the Thiago, and the Genie. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think if he went all four the forwards, then I think that's quite bold.
Yeah.
And it could leave us overloaded midfield because it'd be three against two, even if Bobby's dropping deep. I'd prefer Genie, Thiago, and Fabinho in midfield because I think, like you said, it's more balanced. And you know, they will allow us to control the game more and hurry Madrid because you know, I do feel that Madrid's midfield is very much an attacking one. Like Modric and Cruz aren't the ones to track back or like do defensive work, right? They're a team that likes to be in the ball and dominant possession, you know, control the game. So they're not really the ones that want to be. And also Madrid rarely face a team in Spain that's high pressure, into high intensity that can run all day. They don't play this kind of team in Spain. So I think on that side, yeah, I'd want the midfield that basically that we normally come to see in recent games. Thiago,
yeah, and like
Fabinho and Gini.
Yeah, I feel like the 4-2-3-1 would somewhat hold up. You know, it put some kind of like a rein, you know, the reins on Thiago a little bit. You know, it would limit his attack. It would limit his freedom. Whereas the 4-3-3, if he moves up in the attack and finds some open space, you have Gini and Fabinho to kind of slide in and provide that balance. If the 4-2-3-1 is going, we don't really have that as much. We don't have as much experience with that formation. And against a big team and a very formidable opponent like Real Madrid, and having guys like Toni Kroos, Luka Modric in the middle, any imbalances that they find in the opposition, they're going to exploit it.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
How big do you guys feel Ramos being injured out? You know, for Madrid this tomorrow.
It's massive. I like. You can argue that he's taken a step down, maybe a little bit, like talent wise, but he is Real Madrid. He is their leader. He still scores a lot of goals for them too, and just having his vocal presence in the back, I think, is massive. And I think I saw a stat that Real Madrid's never lost two legs in the Champions League when he's played both legs. I could be wrong on that, but I thought I saw a stat along those lines. And wow. If that's the case, Real Madrid cannot be slept on. You know, if you want to sleep on him a little bit now because Ramos is in there, I could get it. But like, his impact is massive, and it seems like too, like especially the bigger the game, the bigger the player he is, and I think he definitely would have been up for the challenge, for these two games. So not having him is definitely going to be massive. I mean, that being said, they still have some good guys in the back. Seems like they actually may be playing, three center backs and two wing backs against us based off what they did last game. Not sure if they'll continue that, but it's going to be really interesting to see how Varane and Nacho and whoever Militao in the back, how they can hold up without his leadership. Because when I think of Varane, however you want to say it, I don't the little bit I've seen, he doesn't really seem like a huge vocal leader. So it's going to be really interesting to see for me, like how organized they can stay in the back. And I think that's also why I would start maybe a Jota up top, because having those guys just constantly moving around is going to be really difficult for them to keep an eye on.
Yeah, who does Real Madrid have on the bench? They could, I mean, Militao is one that comes to mind that could fill in.
Nacho.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what they do. I'd be very surprised, to be honest, if they went with a three in the back. I feel like that's just somewhat of a change in their formation, but I could be wrong. You know, someone in the chat here said that 1892 Reds podcast said that Lucas Vasquez would be right wing back. I think that bodes well for Sadio Mane. You know, someone who's been struggling with confidence. He could definitely, I think, overpower and outmaneuver someone like Lucas Vasquez, especially on that right side. It'll be interesting. I think Ramos is a huge miss for them. I wonder if he'll be in the weight room just working with chains or something like that while Real Madrid is playing. I don't know. But, homie, what do you think?
I think it's huge because, as you both said, Ramos's clutch moments, he's a man that, that's deadly at set pieces. You know, it pops up with match-winning headers in the 90th minute that gets Madrid into the final or something. So, and he's done it continuously for so many years for Madrid. So as you said, he might not be at his level he was due to age and also injuries, but he's still a leader. He's still the man that's vocal. He's still the man that's going to bring that fight and spice. That dirtiness, cynicalness, he's still the man for that. So without him there, that is a big, big blow to Madrid's defense. But they might lack the leadership, but I think individually they've still got very good centre-backs. You know, Militao is still a good centre-back.
Yeah.
Nacho's good. Varane's good. And I also saw them play, I think it was recently they played Ferland Mendy at centre-back in one of the, as a back three.
Really?
Yeah, they played him as a back three, and he played really well. I can't remember which game. I think it was the last one of the games they played recently. They played him there. But I don't think they'll play him there tomorrow. But they have done in the past.
Yeah, well, homie, Ramos is actually getting a lot of disrespect in the chat right now. I don't mind it, but I don't exactly agree with.
I think
he's a phenomenal player.
I think that's a lot of because people didn't like him with it to Salah more than and that's what that is. So yeah, you know,
I mean, Sophie's saying it, J Doc saying it.
Yeah, I think that's yeah. Sophie's I think that's not
Ramos is a big fish and a little pond type player. I don't really get the hype over him. And then Duke comes back and says Ramos is world class.
Yeah, he is. He was world class. You know, you don't win, was it three Champions Leagues or four Champions Leagues in a row and, you know, star in that and play with some of the best teams around in Europe. You know, the amount of times, I think it was like the last time they won the Champions League, I think they played either Atletico Madrid and he scored two massive headers that put them into the final. Like, he's a big match player, you know, and he comes alive in these games. So, you know, as much as I get it off, he's an idiot for Wilder to Salah and he's a dirtbag. But on the pitch, he was a phenomenal player, top centre-back, in for Spain. So,
I mean, he's made the FIFA Pro World 11 11 times.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's a really good player.
He deserved it. You know, in for Spain, he's been world-class for Spain, you know. But I get it. I get why people don't like him personality-wise because he did to Salah and how he acted at the, I think it was the Ballon d'Or Awards where he basically...
He touched him on the shoulder.
Yeah.
What a dick.
So, I get why people don't like him. But,
you know, one of the things about Ramos, though, is that, like, I know he had the bad tackle on Salah, but, like, you know, that's why he gets a lot of red cards is he does things like that. And more often than not, he has gotten a lot of red cards, but more often than not, he gets away with some of that stuff. And he knows what he's doing. I mean, I'm not saying that he's purposely injuring guys, but he's purposely kind of playing some shithouse football, like Ian Francis just said. Like, he's trying to do things to get in the heads of the best players on the other team. And that's, I mean, honestly, I did the same thing when I played center back. I always try to take a shot at a couple people, not to injure them, but, to get them pretty good and get in their head and get them off the game. Yeah, just rough them up a little bit, you know. But I think that's going to be a huge thing for them. He is also just like one of their physical enforcers, and they do not have a lot of that on their team. You know, I mean, again, like think about the midfield. Like Casemiro is pretty good, but Kroos and Modric are very, very soft. Benzema is a hard worker, but the two wingers, or if they play a 5-3-2, it's going to be Vinicius Jr., like very soft, more pacey guy. So I think that's a huge advantage for us, not having him in there and that physicality. Maybe a Nat Phillips header goal, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, good stat here from 1892 Reds podcast. 72 goals for Real Madrid for Sergio Ramos as a center back. He's had a long, illustrious career, but that's pretty astounding. 72 goals from a center back position. But, I mean, going into this game, we've talked about it a little bit here and there. I think you guys talked about it on Kopish earlier. But what are some big threats of Real Madrid that you guys are worried about? I've been pretty vocal about Benzema. I mean, I think you guys said earlier that Arsenal was a big test for the center backs of Liverpool yesterday or 2 days ago. But Benzema is a completely different animal. In my opinion, he is top five in the world as a striker and has been for the past 5 to 10 years or however long he's been at Real Madrid, 7 years maybe. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think the back line against Vinicius and Benzema is one of the biggest ones. And Drifty made a good point. You know, Benzema, his movement is incredible. And what I'm worried about is Quebec and Phillips getting undisciplined at times and getting drawn out too far or leaving a gap in the center of the field or Trent getting stuck up too far and not being able to catch up with Vinicius' pace on the outside. You know, but the thing is that almost at every single level, there's going to be some key matchups. It's you know, this game and this matchup is going to be so much fun because you have the Benzema against the center backs. You have Vinicius against Trent. Yeah, Fabinho and Thiago versus Kroos and Modric. That's going to be a massive game as well. If even Wijnaldum versus Casemiro, like every single matchup in this game could be very, very good.
Oh, my God. This is incredible. This is incredible. That is amazing.
What a reference. 1892 podcast. You guys are awesome.
That is fantastic. Well done. If I could give points away, that would be a point right there at 1892 Reds podcast. But everybody's agreeing with me. They're saying Benzema is a danger man for Madrid. Dave's LFC chat. Good to see you, Dave. He said Benzema is a danger. Benzema will be a threat, but we have Virgil van Phillips and Joe Kabak. I mean, Wahomi, are you worried about Benzema?
Yeah, you got to. I think obviously when since Ronaldo left, Benzema's kind of picked up the handle and has run with it. And as you know, you can't dispute the fact that, you know, he's got 17 goals this season. He's been electric for Real Madrid and he's carried their fight for him for them. So, you know, I was looking at some of his goals of the 17 he's got. He's got 7 headed goals. So you can see that he's a threat from headers. Mm-hmm. He's got 2 counter-attack goals, 10 right-sided goals, and then 5 left-sided goals. So most of his goals are from head or from the right-hand side. So I think we have to be mindful of that when we're playing them. The fact that, you know that he is good in the air and he has got exceptional movement. So I think he's going to be a massive threat. I also think Ferland Mendy is going to be a threat because he's very, very fast and very technical down the, you know, left-hand side. If I know he got the bench, but if Valverde plays, he's also quite very good for them as
Valverde.
Well.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, Valverde. So I don't know if he's going to be fit. And also,
does he play on the wing? Where does he play?
I think he plays midfield.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I also think Asenio is going to be good for them. He's going to be a threat because although he's not hit the heights that he had after he won the European, I think it's a European Youth Cup or World Cup, one of those ones years ago with Spain, and he got the ACL, he's still a very good player. Very good play. He's fast. He can shoot from long range distance. He's a free kick expert. So if he has a good night and he comes to a bit of form, because I think he scored 3 in the last 4 games. So, you know, he's going to be a threat. I think he's going to be on Robbo's side or Trent. I can't remember which one of those sides, but he's going to be a massive threat. So we have to like keep an eye out for him. And obviously then we have to stop Kroos. Like he's the playmaker. He's the, you know, the world-class playmaker like Thiago. And you have to stop Kroos. You can't allow him time in the ball to pick up passes or dictate the game because he'll kill you. You know, so I think those are kind of going to be like the main key areas that we have to be mindful of.
What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of said, you know, I think that Thiago Fabinho matchup is going to be huge. And also though, I'm really curious. I want to see how Salah does as well, because he's going to be on, he'd be on Mendy's side, on that side. So can he track back and stick with him? But also too, like, you know, he did play well against Arsenal, but it did take for Kieran Tierney to come out of the game for him to really start taking off in that game. So, you know, that's going to be key too. And also, like, is Jota going to start? Like, that's going to decide a lot for me too, because if Jota starts, I just think the movement of the front three is going to be very difficult for Madrid to keep up with. Whereas if Firmino comes in, it's still going to be tough for Madrid to play out of the back like they like to. But I just think Jota starting and having Robertson and Trent to have a true striker who has a very good header as a target guy, that could be tough for that Madrid back line, because he's playing with a bundle of energy right now, and he's so quick that he's hard to keep up with.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. And Steven Stubbs had a good comment here. He said, Benzema is definitely the danger man, but I'm feeling confident. I think our midfield will be too much for Madrid. Fabinho is all the difference, and he is different gravy. I mean, having Fabinho back in midfield has been a godsend for us. You've seen it in the results. You've seen it in the chemistry in the midfield. And even just having actual center backs playing that position is massive for us. But do you think – well, homie, do you think Fabinho is the difference in our midfield tomorrow against Kroos and Modric?
Yeah, I think it is. I think when Fabinho went back into midfield, you saw what he did for everyone else. He gave stability to the centre backs, allowed them to play more confidence, more protection. He also gave freedom to Trent and Robert to push further forward, knowing they got Fabinho sat there doing the defensive work. He also is very good at creating chances, as he did with Salah's goal against Arsenal. And he made Thiago come alive. You know, Thiago doesn't have to sit back and worry about having to protect the defence anymore. He knows he can do his pressing and tackling high up the pitch. So yeah. I think he is key. I think we saw, even against Arsenal, you know, a lot of people went into the Arsenal game thinking, like, is Odegaard going to run the show? And Fabinho just snuffed him out. Snuffed him out. So, you know, obviously, Kroos is way, way a bigger level than Odegaard. So it's kind of just wondering, like, you know, it's going to be Fabinho versus Toni Kroos. And if he can come out that battle, and stop Cruz, it goes a long way to dominate midfield battle, because that's where I think for me the game's gonna be won, is like who comes out on top of my midfield battle. Is it going to be us or Madrid? And I think that's the key. You know, if Fabinho, Gini, and Thiago can outrun them, bring that hunger, that energy, that desire.
Yeah.
I don't think Madrid are going to have that kind of fight in terms of their midfield players. Because while they're all top-class players, I just don't feel that Madrid players in midfield are the ones that like to do defensive work or like to be rushed and pressured. You know, they like to have time in the ball and dictate it. And I think it's going to be different coming up a team that can do that relentlessly, you know. And there's no one really can press as much as Liverpool can do it and do it relentlessly for the full 90 minutes, like how we can do it, full throttle.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think that Gini Wijnaldum has to start. I think that when you look at a guy like Luka Modric, he has an engine almost like no one else in the world. The only one that can really rival him, in my opinion, is Gini Wijnaldum. And Luka Modric always seems to – he's kind of like a Gundogan in a sense, or I guess maybe Gundogan's more like him, but he always seems to pop up in the right locations. So we need our midfield, especially Gini and Fabinho, to be able to track those two guys. And I think, you know, if we can do that, then the game will 100% be won. But even more importantly, I think, is that this game is a massive game for Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's going up against a very, very pacey winger in Vinicius Jr., very skillful, can beat pretty much anybody one-on-one. And I know that Trent has had some, you know, he's been somewhat of a defensive liability, but I hope to see him continue on his current good form defensively this season. Mm-hmm. But I think that he has a chip on his shoulder right now, and he wants to prove to the world, to Southgate, to the English media, to everybody that he is still the best right back in the world. And what better game to do it than against Real Madrid in the Champions League? So I think it's a massive game for Trent. I'd like to see Robertson have a good game. You know, I think even against Arsenal, he did okay. I feel like his crossing has been off since almost like the new year. I feel like he hasn't put in that many good balls recently. So I'd like to see him be effective on that wing as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, the chat's on fire. You guys keep it up. We appreciate you guys. And if you haven't yet, hit that like and subscribe button. You guys are awesome. But Steven Stubbs here, I think, you know, Fabinho gives, you know, the freedom for Thiago to play his game. No coincidence he's been up running in the midfield, and it takes Thiago more effective. And getting the balls up to our front three earlier will be key. Yeah, you know, it's 100%. Yep. You know, Fabinho also just gives the comfort to Quebec and Phillips as well, just having that security blanket in front of them. But no, absolutely. It allows Thiago to do what Thiago does best, and that's being a deep line playmaker and having the freedom to get forward at times. Ian Francis, though, yeah, spot on. You know, Gini is a key for us too. Engine and ball retention is so important. And you know, I think Dave in the chat said earlier, this game is going to be won and lost in the midfield. Whoever's midfield can comes through. And that's why I think that a midfield of Thiago, Gini, and Fabinho would be the most ideal, because their ball retention is so good. They all have high motors. Thiago, Fabinho, they're not afraid to go into a tackle. And Gini is very good at just knowing what passing lanes to cut out. So if they have to make an extra two passes to get to what they want, he's very, very good at doing that. So that's, you know, if we can shut down that middle lane, shut down that spine, I think we'll be in really good shape, because Quebec and Phillips have proven that they can win any header that comes into that box. So I want to make them play that way.
Yeah, I think Nat Phillips would rather die than lose a header. So, I mean, we saw that against Martinelli against Arsenal.
Yeah, he cleaned out Martinelli. He was perfectly fine out there.
Unbelievable. But, hey, let's in terms of the scoreline, we can get to the actual scoreline in a bit. But what's more important for you guys tomorrow? Would it be a clean sheet away to Real Madrid or an away goal?
I think for me, we have to get an away goal tomorrow. You know, because I think it's going to be the way I'm hesitant because of our Anfield record. You know, like I don't know if that's going to travel into the Champions League. You know, so for me, we have to score. I think for me as well, the first goal is going to be crucial. If we can get the first goal, because I feel that because of how Liga is, the Madrid are going to have to go all out in this game tomorrow because of the Clásico next Saturday. That's going to be a huge game for them. And then they're going to be tired going into our next game in the quarterfinal, or there's going to be energy zapped from that. So I think for us, they're going to go for it tomorrow and try and kill the tie from the first leg. So for us, the first goal, we can get the first goal tomorrow. That's going to be huge. And it's going to open up the game because Madrid are going to have to come at us and attack us.
Yeah.
So for me, we have to get an away goal. Ideally, two would be great. So I would, if it came with a 2-2 away 2-2 draw, I'd probably take that because it put us still in comfort zone in the second leg when Madrid have to come and attack us. But I think it's better to score an away goal, you know, in this game. I think Madrid might score because of the danger they've got, but it's better to get an away goal.
Yeah, in the LFC chat, he's saying that he wants to see an away goal. Mick is saying 2-0 is going to do tomorrow. What's going on, Mick? Thanks for joining us, man. We'll get to our prediction at the end. But there was somebody else who said, yeah, Brian Connolly, he said away goal is absolutely vital. 0-0 and away first leg is always a terrible result.
Spot on.
I agree, man. And, it, you know, if we get that away goal, then it just puts all the pressure on Real Madrid. And then they have to travel. I mean, is the second leg going to be in England? Have we confirmed that? It is? Okay. They have to travel to England. They have to come to Anfield. They haven't done well at Anfield recently in the past 10 years. So it's massive. I think it's absolutely massive. But just building off of that, would you guys – I think we've talked about this a little bit, but would you guys start Jota or Bobby?
So what I would do – what I would do is start with Jota and shit. Yeah. So what I would do is start with Jota. I think Klopp's going to start Firmino. So like we always say in Champions League games, Klopp always goes with the guys he trusts and everything. I'm not saying he doesn't trust Jota, but like, you know, he knows how we're going to play with Firmino in there. Like maybe a little bit more defensive. Obviously the first goal does matter. But again, yeah. I think also it might come down to having that impact sub off the bench. Like Jota is definitely way more of that than Firmino is. Like I think if Jota were to come on in the 60th minute, that would change the game way more than having Firmino come on in the 60th minute. But for me, I think it should be Jota because of all the things I said earlier. Like he's the better target guy for Robertson and Trent whipping balls in. He provides way better movement with Mane and Salah. They all just interchange a lot better. And he actually is pretty damn good at pressing too. Like he's kind of figured it out. He's not 100% there yet and like to know exactly where to press, but he busts his ass all the time. So like I'd be comfortable putting him in any single one of those spots. I did think it was interesting though that Klopp didn't rule out potentially playing all four of them. I think that was kind of just, playing mind games. Yeah. But I would love to see that at some point, but no, I think it should be Jota, but I think it's going to end up being Firmino.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Before you go, homie, the chat's saying, Brian Connolly saying Jota over Bobby all day long. Steven Stubbs is saying Jota, Mane and Salah is a must for the front three. Ian Francis, he's agreeing with you, Steven. He's saying that Bobby will start, Klopp will go with his tried and tested. Mm-hmm. Dave's LFC chat, he said, I think he starts Bobby. Oscar, I'm not going to Jay Ling's man. He's had a good 6 games or 8 games or whatever it is. I'll give him that. But I don't think he's a Liverpool player, and nor do I want him on the squad. But, let's go to you. What do you think, Jota or Firmino?
I would play Jota, but I think Bobby will start tomorrow. You know, I just think that Klopp is going to go defensive and look to press Madrid defense because they'll have to play out the back and he'll go for Jota in the second half. And I think that's where he's going to go. Obviously for me, I'd prefer Jota to start. I'd prefer us to do what we did against Atlanta where we just crucified them in the counter-attack. Because everything that Steven said, you know, I think you look in the first half against Arsenal, the front three didn't look that good. You know, we missed so many chances. Bobby was dropping so deep to pick up the ball in midfield, it just didn't work. You know, and obviously then it meant that Salah and Mane were, you know, not, you know, obviously they were being marked out and they'd obviously made loads of ball decision making. And then when Jota came in the second half, they all came alive.
Yeah.
They all started clicking, combination, link up play, everyone came alive. So and also, you know, with Jota there, we they can interchange. So you can see Mane go in the middle, Jota going wide, and we don't get that with Firmino. So, but I, like I said, I feel that it will be Bobby Stein tomorrow. So, yeah, that's what I think it will be, Bobby tomorrow. But yeah, I would have preferred Jota.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think Jota definitely deserves the start. That's what Noob is here. He's saying, Steven Stubbs is saying that Jota is more of a goal scoring threat than Bobby, as much as he loves Bobby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually thought that Bobby played really well against Arsenal. I thought it was his best game in the past, you know, 5 or 6 games. His touches were on. He was great with the link up play. I thought his press was phenomenal. And then once he moved back into the 10, you know, you really saw him open up a bit and, you know, really start to play his game. And I even tweeted after the game, I said that, you know, this is like a new signing almost. So hopefully we'll see more of Bobby in that position. But I agree. I think that Klopp is just going to be the conservative Klopp. He's going to, you know, maybe – I don't know if he'll sit in against Real Madrid, but definitely go with more of a press and you know, quick counter, especially with the with Casemiro aging and, you know, obviously with some pace on the wings. But, go ahead, Steven.
I was just going to say, I think how Klopp lines up is going to dictate very much so how he plans on, like, you know, what the tactics are for the game. Because I think if he starts Firmino, he's going to just rely on us wearing out that midfield, you know, making them work for every inch. And almost, I don't want to say, like, playing for a tie for the first half, but just kind of seeing what we got with Real Madrid, make them work for everything. And then the second half, then you bring on Jota at some point to really just go out and kill him. Whereas if he starts Jota, I think it symbolizes that he understands the importance of the first goal and to go out and get that first goal and put the pressure on them early. So I think depending on who starts is really going to dictate what we can expect to see, because we know that we are a much better second half team. So I think if Firmino starts, then you can expect us to try to just weather the storm in the first half, you know, make them work for everything. Not give them anything, make them break us down, and in the second half we go out and attack them.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be definitely interesting.
Yeah, and Dave's LFC chat. You know, remember El Clasico at the weekend too versus Barca. Yep, that's a good point. Noob, who I think is actually a Real Madrid fan. I'm not sure, but he said the player I'm most afraid of is Jota. So I guess that would make sense. Yeah, I mean, I would be afraid as a center back going against Jota, but. And just then,
a question, though, you guys. If Madrid do line up with 3 at the back, how do you feel about that 3-5-2? Could they then pack in the midfield? Because I was watching this tactical video thing that someone did, where they were looking at and if Madrid played 3-5-2, and they were saying that obviously Madrid's plan is to, you know, push Benzema, and I think and make them press the 2 centre backs, and then cause overlap on Salah's side, so that we have to then move everyone on over to that side to protect Trent, because Salah's not going to track back, they're saying. And obviously then it means that if Mane doesn't track back on the other side, Asenio's going to have an open run at Robbo. So what do you think about if Madrid line up the 3-5-2?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a tough one. I think that, they're basically being that would basically be telling us that they want a midfield battle. They have confidence in their midfield to win that battle, and their main objective is to limit our fullbacks. And they understand the threat of Trent. They understand the threat of Salah and Mane and Robertson. I still think that they're going to go with a 4-3-3. I think that they understand that the first leg is probably more important than the second leg, especially with the Barcelona game looming in the background. So I think that they're going to want to get goals in this game, and I think that's why they're going to go with 3 up front. And they understand that, you know, the defense is our biggest weakness right now. Yeah, Kabak and Phillips have been playing well, but at the same time, they're both really young. They both don't have much Champions League experience. And they've both only been playing together for, what, 2 months? With maybe 5 or 6 appearances together. So they're going to understand that Benzema is somewhat of a mismatch there, and they're going to want to put the ball in the back of the net, in my opinion. So I'd be surprised if they went with that. What do you think?
I was going to say this. Klopp out. Just saw your comment. This is respect for the chat room. So, you know, obviously, all views are welcome. But, you know, obviously, you know, be careful with the content you're going
about. What message? Oh, yeah. I just see that now. Yeah, we don't want that anymore, man.
Yeah, if you're going to talk like that, you're going to be banned from the chat.
Try to keep it respectful.
Yeah, keep respectful.
Even Stubbs, go ahead and just DM me on Twitter. I'd love to have you on, man. Anytime.
Yeah, and Steven actually mentioned here, Steven Stubbs, he said clean sheet and away goal would be the ideal scenario. I think we look more solid at the back, and I believe that is because the back four have more protection, hinting at Fabinho there. Also makes it a difference, center backs playing center back. Sophie, agree with you there. No problem, man. Just try to keep it light, Klopp out. Although I don't agree with your username, Klopp out, either. But yeah, I mean, let's what formation do you think we're gonna go with? We kind of hinted at it and touched on it earlier. We went with a 4-3-3, or I think we're gonna go with a 4-3-3. But what do you guys think? Do you think that we would risk the 4-2-3-1 or just keep it to the 4-3-3?
I think 4-3-3. I think 4-2-3-1 is Klopp going really bold and is taking the game to Madrid. And that's him just throwing caution to the wind and saying, look, let's just go for it and outscore them. I think he's going to be more pragmatic, understanding that, you know, Madrid are still a very good team and they still got top-class players in midfield. And you don't want to allow Modric, Cruz to have time in the ball or be in a position where they've got space to pick the ball and pick a pass, because that's where they're going to then kill us with Vicenza Junior or Asenio and Benzema. So we don't. I think he's going to, as Sophie said, the usual 4-3-3, and that's going to be the way he's going to line up.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a 4-3-3 to start. You know, depending how each game unravels, I wouldn't be surprised if we kind of move to a more of a 4-2-3-1 approach, depending if we're chasing the goal or, you know, anything like that. But ultimately, no, I think a 4-3-3 is what got us here. You don't abandon it now and completely change the wheel. So I just think it'd almost be too cute of Klopp to change it now.
Yeah, and Soph just said, LOL, watch Klopp start Shaq tomorrow instead. Yeah, I mean, I think Shaq's still in the basement, though. But let's get into this.
I got a question for you guys. Who is a better midfield trio? If you're doing it honestly, Fabinho, Gini, Thiago, or Modric, Cruz, and Casemiro?
I mean, Gini, Fabinho, and Thiago have played like 3 games together, so that's kind of tough. I mean, Right now, I would probably say, oh, that's tough. I mean, Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro won 3 Champions Leagues together, so that's tough to beat. And you know, our trio has played 4 to 5 games together, so it's tough to say.
Individually, who's a better DM, Fabinho or Casemiro?
I think Fabinho's the better one. Yeah.
Okay, who's a better playmaker, Kroos or Thiago?
I think Cruz is.
Steve?
I don't know. I think I would compare – I don't know. Maybe I think I'd compare Thiago more to Modric myself, but maybe not. I'd probably say Cruz if we're talking about going forwards, but I think Thiago offers more defensively.
Gini, Modric?
Modric.
Modric.
So, you know,
I guess I kind of answered that for you.
I think it's a close matchup. It's because, like, I almost feel like it's, like, again, I just think when you look at the skill set of the 3 midfielders on Madrid and the 3 midfielders on Liverpool, it's just going to be such an entertaining thing to watch. Like, who's going to make the one mistake, or, like, who's going to make that one just world-class ball that, like, that no one can touch, you know what I mean? And it's just going to be – That's where the fun's going to be, right in that 3 right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's relatively even. I just think that – I think Cruz is one of the best playmakers in the world. His passing ability is absolutely phenomenal, and he can just switch the play with one step. I mean, Thiago can do a little bit of the same, but I just think Cruz's ability is slightly better. And then Modric, you know, he won a Ballon d'Or. He's absolutely phenomenal. He's been the best player at Real Madrid since Ronaldo left, in my opinion. So it's going to be good. I think Fabinho is the key, like we said earlier. But just going back to the chat real quick, Klopp out said 5-4-1. He wants us to park the bus. Maybe in this game that's what we should do, but I don't think Klopp will ever park the bus. I just don't think it's in his blood. I don't think it's in his DNA. Brian Connolly said 4-3-3. No way he's going to line up in any other way in the Champions League knockout stage. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Oscar is saying he would go with a 5-5 formation and hit Real on a counter. I don't know if we're ready to see the 5-5. That would be very interesting. Fabinho, the best center, DM in the world all day long. Klopp demand saying Real Madrid has a better midfield. Let's not be deluded. Let's see. Modric, Cruz, and Casemiro are the superior midfield trio. LFC Wahomie, let's not get too cocky just yet. Woo! Coming at Wahomie now.
I would say Fabinho is better than Casemiro. Cruz and Thiago is a toss-up. I think they suit each other because they're both world-class. There's not much between them. The only one where I'd say Oscar Marcos is totally right is with Modric and Gini, where there's with clear Modric the winner. Otherwise, the other two, I wouldn't say the other two as clear cut, except for Fabinho and Casemiro. I think because Casemiro is good, but I think he's made you look good in the Madrid team he's playing in, where they've won so many things. So he's looked better than he has been.
Club to man, who's better, Nat Phillips or Ramos?
You mean Phillips Maldini?
Yeah, I love it. All right, well, before we move on to our final predictions, we wanted to try a new segment today for the chat. We're going to do some trivia questions. I think Wahomie has some questions for everybody.
Yes.
And Wahomie, how many do you have?
Only three.
All right, three. So we'll see who gets three out of three, two out of three, or one out of three. Who gets the most, and they'll be deemed the winner, and maybe they can reclaim their glory in the next video. But question one,
does pineapple deserve to belong on pizza?
I thought this was going to be about football.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I do too.
I'll always eat it.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. But we're Americans.
I agree, Sophie. Pineapple does not belong on pizza. Why do you think it belongs on pizza?
It's fucking delicious. It's just good.
You have mushrooms on pizza. Mushrooms are terrible.
I'll disagree there.
You have anchovies on pizza. You have fish on pizza. Hey, come on.
I know. Pineapple pizza? I don't think so. Not for me.
The chat disagreeing. Oh, okay, Klopp out. We agree on that one, man.
Sophie won the little bullshit.
Next one.
Question two.
Favorite cartoon kind of animation between Family Guy, South Park, Simpsons, American Dad.
Oh, South Park. Definitely. South Park is just. Don't get me wrong. Family Guy, when it first came out, was so good, but South Park for me, I can just turn on any episode and laugh my ass off. The other show I'd throw in there though is Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty is top of the line stuff.
I love South Park, but I think I might have to go Family Guy. Like, I am just always laughing at Family Guy. Stewie might be one of the funniest characters of all time, and the random flashbacks are just phenomenal. Like, always in tears laughing.
Oh, Brian Collins says Simpsons all day long. Oh, I'm Family Guy, but Brian, I'm just saying that. Klopp out says South Park. Brian Collins Simpsons all day long. I did think Simpsons, but I think Family Guy is just more funny. I love Stewie and Brian's relationship.
I think great. Yeah. Simpsons is a classic.
Where's my money, man? Where's my money?
Yeah. Simpsons has, like, oddly predicted, like, every current event we've ever experienced. It's like really, it's
really like pictures and everything, like,
yeah,
like there was one image, I think it was of like Trump going down Trump for president, he's going down an escalator and waving. They nailed that like perfectly. Then there was the one where I think it's maybe Saudi Arabia or a different country, I apologize if I got it wrong, but there's like three leaders holding like a ball, and there's a picture of that, and South Park did it. I mean, Simpsons did it exactly. Like, it's scary. They're definitely from their goddamn future. Took a time machine back here.
I love how Sophie's keeping score. Like Sophie 2-0.
Seems that scoreline seems a little biased.
And the final one. What's your go-to drink at the bar? If you're going a night out, classy place, what's your go-to drink?
Mine's an old fashioned. It's a whiskey drink. It's absolutely delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah, depending on my mood, it's either just whiskey on the rocks, preferably bourbon on the rocks, or a vodka soda.
Tequila bollocks. How's that? Okay.
I'm not sure. What's yours, homie?
Well, mine was it's changing. Before, it used to be JD and the Rocks, or sometimes I just like Scotch. I grew into Scotch quite a lot.
Ooh, yeah. Scotch is too smoky for me. That's too smoky for me. I will say though, when we go to the Liverpool supporters bar here in Boston, I'm down in beers. The only beer I'm down in is Carlsberg. That's for sure.
Yeah,
Cop the man says he wants a Dom Perignon, as if I made that kind of money.
Yeah, well, no. Someone asked in the last video. I think you had to leave. He had to jump off earlier, and they asked when we would be coming to England, and we said that we'd all meet at a bar or something, that you'd get the first round. So,
your first round of me.
Yeah, first round of me. Yeah.
Oscar Marcus, my go-to drink is water. Hey man, I'm a hydrant myself. Water all day. Love me some water. Does that thing? The best water that you can get actually is like when you're playing footy and your team has like the big water jug on the side, and then you have one of those clear plastic cups. That is when the water hits the best. Like yes. That is the best water in the world. There's no better water that. There's no water that tastes better than that water coming out of that jug going into those little tiny clear cups. Amazing.
That's so random.
You're not a water drinker like I am. You wouldn't
understand. I do love rum and coke. I have to agree with that.
Yeah, rum and coke. Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I like that segment, man. We're going to start adding that to the shows. But let's end with our predictions for the match. The big match tomorrow, Real Madrid at home to Liverpool. What do you guys think? Steven, let's go with you first. Well, homie's going to be thinking about this for 5 minutes.
I'm going to keep it consistent with what I said earlier on Kopish. I'm going to say 1-1. I think Benzema gets one, and I think Salah gets one for us. And I would 100% take that going into the second leg.
Yeah, on Kopish I said my heart says 2-1, but my head says 2-2.
Oh, man. I think it's
Wait. Who's your goal scorer, homie? Goal scorers.
I think Salah definitely scores one. And I think Mane breaks his duck. I think this is a night when Mane comes alive, like he did against Bayern Munich a few years back.
I would absolutely love that. I would absolutely love it. I'm going to go with 2-1. I think it was a popular score line in the chat. I'm going to agree with that. I think it's going to be tough to keep Benzema off the score sheet. So I think he's going to get one. I think that we do get the first goal. I think Salah does get it. And I think Jota gets the second in the second half. But going to the chat, Steven Stubbs thinks it's going to be 3-1 Liverpool. Ian Francis, 3-1 Liverpool. Brian Connolly, 2-1 Salah, both goals. I like that. Kloppout is saying he's being realistic, he's going to go 2-0. Ian Francis, Mane, 2 goals. Jota, 1. Oscar, 3-2 Real Madrid. Someone asked Wahomi, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food, Mexican.
Mexican food is phenomenal. Absolutely. Yeah. Great choice. But yeah, do you guys have anything else you want to cover, or should we close it out on that?
The cover, nothing really. I think just make sure you tell everyone else to subscribe to Yank to the Cop. Tell your friends too.
Yeah, and honestly, the chat, you guys were on fire today. This was awesome. You guys were just nonstop. We appreciate it. And hopefully you're all...
Oh,
fuck. Hopefully we'll all be back tomorrow after Liverpool win. We're good.
Yeah, well, we heard that. Smash the like button. Hit the like and subscribe. But thank you all for joining us. Up the Reds. We'll see you tomorrow.
Up the Reds.